This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all.
Well, that is the video that is on Donald Trump's Twitter account right now. I know a lot of you have decided Twitter is not the place for you. Some of you only live on Twitter. But right now, Donald Trump's Twitter account is back up and functioning, and he's tweeting from it, or somebody's tweeting from it on his behalf. I don't really know that there's much tweeting in the past that has gone on outside of Donald Trump's thumbs and his phone. I wonder if he types with his thumbs or if he's a swiper. And I wonder what that would say about him. Somebody should ask, one of the influencers should ask him, when you're tweeting, are you using thumbs? Are you hunting and pecking? I don't think he's a hunt and pecker. I think he is somebody who is pretty adept at it, except for the Covfefe thing a few years ago. So yes, Donald Trump back on Twitter. That is the news of this morning. It's pretty big news. When I first went to Donald Trump's X profile, I'm going to try to call it X. Out of gratitude for Elon Musk, I'm going to try to call it X. Twixter is what I was calling it when it first changed, and it's just kind of the thing that sticks in my mind the most. Initially, when I went to his profile on X, his new tweets only showed up in replies for me, and then I kept refreshing, and it didn't change, and then 5 minutes later, I went back, and then there they were on the posts. I am excited to see what his event tonight that will take place on X with Elon Musk, 7 o'clock our time this evening, they are going to be live. Now, I don't know if this is going to involve video, if it's just audio like their traditional spaces are, but I'm going to be paying attention to it for sure. So I'm looking here, scrolling through his X account on August 4th or 24th, 2023. The Trump account tweeted out his mugshot. And at this point in time right now, there are 490,000 retweets of Donald Trump's mugshot, 345,000 replies, 1.8 million likes, and 312 million views. It made its way around the world. 312 million views for that one tweet. So he put that out in August 2023 when that mugshot was released. And before that, the last time he tweeted, January 8th of 2021. So some things have transpired since Donald Trump has been an active participant on Twitter. And what's the phrase that everybody loves to repeat over and over and over again? What I wouldn't give for some mean tweets right now. Granted, those mean tweets are much more palatable when you're paying $1.50 gas. We got to get to there. We got to get past November. We have to get ourselves to the place where we win in November and can get back to more affordable groceries, more affordable gas, more affordable lifestyles, more affordable housing, all of that. We will talk with Steve Moore at 105 on the show. In an hour from now, we'll be talking with him. He is an advisor to Donald Trump's economic policies. And we will talk to Steve Moore about what it looks like for Donald Trump to actually effectively get us back to there. I'm also going to ask Steve Moore what he thinks about the only policy that Kamala Harris is on record in supporting, which is no tax on tips, this new policy that Kamala Harris has come up with. She stole it from Trump. I know she stole it from Trump. You know why? Because I'm holding in my hand right here. If you're looking on the screen right now, these are stickers that I bought, and they're brilliant stickers. And I bought them maybe at the very beginning of July. Like, there's been time to get merchandise out for Donald Trump's no tax on tips policy. I'm holding these stickers, and they're stickers that you can put on your receipt. You know, a lot of people were writing on receipts, like, vote Trump, no tax on tips. People have been doing that all summer. I bought these stickers from Tax-Free Tips 2024. They were affordable, and they had many options there. And it says, here's another tip. And there's a USA flag, and then there's a QR code. And the QR code goes to Donald Trump talking about how he's not going to tax tips. So Kamala Harris comes out this weekend, and she is now in favor of no tax on tips. She hasn't really been like on record really with any policies. She's just accused Donald Trump of being the end of democracy. And then she continues to give us her resume, not a record, but her resume. She's not really talking about any of the things that she has actually effectively done on her own. But here's something that she says that she wants to do should she become
including
the president.
Including to raise the minimum wage and eliminate taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers.
So there is a difference here, though. It's important to understand the difference in what Kamala Harris is trying to do and what Donald Trump is trying to do, because I'm not really sure what a hospitality worker is. So if Kamala Harris knows something, I don't know.
And eliminate taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers.
I thought, well, maybe this is a new track for her. Hospitality workers, no tax on tips. That is something that Kamala Harris has added to Donald Trump's no tax on tips policy that he's been stumping on for months and months. This is important when you're consuming things, because you need to remember you got to keep yourself your level best. Listening to Kamala Harris come out and say that, and just say it. She just said it like, first of all, I think she'll say whatever's in the teleprompter. That's A1. Maybe somebody from Trump's campaign got into her teleprompter or something and stuck that in there. And she said that and she thought, what? What the heck? When Kamala Harris and the people in this campaign and the surrogates and the pundits on the left-leaning media channels, when they come out and they say things like this and they champion her of being a woman of the people and everything, and they are blatantly duplicating things and gaslighting on other things about Donald Trump, about his campaign, about what he stands for, about what he did, about what the Biden-Harris administration has done, about the problems this country is facing, about the disastrous, chaotic border that was created by Donald Trump's policies being removed on essentially day one by Joe Biden. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's border policy has been to undo all of the executive orders that Kamala Harris that Donald Trump put in place. The Biden-Harris plan on the border was to undo every executive order they could possibly undo that Donald Trump had put in place. And go look at the charts. Go look at the numbers. You like graphs? You like numbers? Go look at them. They are not in favor of the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris way if you want a secure border. I've said this many times and I will continue to say it again. When it looks like the Biden-Harris policies are failing miserably and you're going, what are you doing? Can't you see how disastrous this is for the country? You have failed to understand that their goals for their policies are different than yours. And I know this, and I have to remind myself of this repeatedly, because it's very hard to believe, and it's even more difficult to accept that the Biden-Harris administration would hate America as it were so much that they would want to fundamentally transform it in the future for something they envision this country to be that it currently isn't. Kamala Harris is an exercise in big government run by elitist people, namely Barack Obama, who have a broader vision of what America should be coming out of how awful America has been, which sounds something like a line that Kamala continues to repeat. When Kamala Harris comes out and says about what can be unburdened by what has been, she's talking about America. She's talking about this country we live in. She's talking about unburdened by what has been. That's the disastrous disgust that she has for the United States of America. She only sees the blackest of eyes that we have as a nation, as a culture, as a community. She only looks at the terrible things that has happened and completely forgets that we have shed blood to move past it, that we have grown to a place where, you know, she continues to repeat her resume to us over and over and over again. She continues to talk to us about how she's been a prosecutor. She's tough on crime. She's tough on the crime that she wants to identify. But she just waves her hand at the things that are advantageous to her, like the southern border. And again, don't say borders are. Who gives a flying flip about whether or not her name was the border czar? That doesn't matter. That is a distraction to the point that Joe Biden most certainly put her in charge of the concern that people had at the southern border. And they did it like 2 months after they became president and vice president. It was nearly immediate that they decided, we're going to address this. Now, here's why this is complicated for them, not for us. This is why this is complicated, because in the world of shallow policies and identity politics and power-hungry people who are willing to do whatever it takes to maintain it, this is the truth. And I don't hear people talking about this, and I know that it's like a simple, basic point, and you want more because there should be more, but there isn't. People were freaking out about the border when Joe Biden became the president, and he undid all of Donald Trump's policies. This is how the left works. They say out loud, we're going to put somebody in charge of this. And then that's the end of it. There's a big fat period. At the end of that sentence, they feel as though they get credit for identifying the issue and saying they're going to resolve it. What's the phrase? Everybody together. We're going to do the work. They never get done with the work. The work is the work. The work is the goal. If you have a perpetual problem in government that needs to be solved only by government, what will you always need more of? Government. That's how they function. So when Biden-Harris become the administration that gets to pull the levers, and their immediate reaction is to make a bunch of maneuvers that are going to make the border a disaster. Donald Trump didn't have the border problem A1 fixed, but he had it in a place where if Congress could step in and make some tough decisions, which they had the chance to do as well when Donald Trump was president, but the Republicans didn't have enough of the majority to get it across the finish line. He had it in a position where the next move could have fixed the southern border, could have fortified our country in the future to make sure that we don't have terrorists running across our lands right now. That is a known fact, that we have people in our country right now who are terrorists because they just came across Kamala Harris's southern border. When you get shallow people like the far left progressive heads of the Democrat Party currently. Not every Democrat is like this. Not every Democrat is only power hungry. Not every Democrat out there is a far left, woke progressive, power hungry, shallow vessel. They're not all like that, but they are in charge right now. And that will be up to the Democrat Party to fix. Not up to us. It will be up to the Democrats who say, I don't believe what the Republicans believe on these issues, but I sure as heck don't believe what this progressive left Democrat Party believes on these issues. That's on you, blue voters. You fix that. But Republicans and moderates and disenchanted, disenfranchised Democrat voters need to understand one thing. The solution from the Biden-Harris administration was to say out loud to everybody, Kamala Harris is going to be in charge of the border. And I fear that that was supposed to just be enough so that the administration could say, oh, yeah, we're on it. We've identified it. We've said it out loud even. And then it gets out of hand. They don't have a plan where the end goal is a secure border where only people who want to follow our laws and our system of legal immigration, their goal is not to fortify that so that we can welcome the very best of the best people who want to come here for an opportunity, to come here for a chance, to come here to escape oppressive third world countries or oppressive dictatorship governments, to come here and have a shot in America. You can do that through a setup system. And if the system isn't right, fix the system. You don't kick the door open and tell them all to come across the southern border and then fix it down the road, unless your far left woke progressive agenda is to create problems that you can maybe solve at some point. Or at least every election cycle, every 2 years, remind the voters that you're the one who cares about people. When Joe Biden puts Kamala Harris in charge of the southern border, it was just to get credit for saying something about the southern border and to get it off Joe Biden's plate. Because remember, Joe Biden was going to run for a second term. He could put that on her. And she didn't do anything about it because they didn't have a plan to do anything about it. The Biden-Harris border plan is exactly what's happening right now. Fentanyl in this country, Kamala Harris. Crime in this country from people who don't belong here, Kamala Harris. Jobs that aren't going to American taxpaying on the record citizens, Kamala Harris. She don't want to fix any of it. She doesn't want to stop any of it. In fact, not only does she not want to stop it, she created it. When you look at the Harris plan and you say it's an unmitigated disaster, guess what she thinks? Exactly how I wanted it. They steal plans like no tax on tips because they hear it in the wind. They lick their finger. They put their finger up in the air and they're like, ah, some people like that. We're just going to say it. And it gets under your skin and you're like, how the heck can she just say that in a rally and own it like it's hers? It's because she has no standards. She has, there's no moral barrier to doing something like that, because the only thing that matters is winning. And if she thinks, Trump, this is how you know it's a good policy. So good that Kamala's willing to steal it to try to bring some people back over to her that may have been interested in Donald Trump because he said something they liked. To any moderate, to any newbie out there, if you are looking to pay less in taxes, Kamala Harris ain't your girl. That's not where you go to pay less taxes. She wants to raise the minimum wage. She says she wants to raise the minimum wage in the same sentence that she says she wants to not tax tips. She wants to make businesses pay people more, force them to pay people more, so that those same people who are now making more money now have to pay $10 for a QPC, which is what McDonald's really wants you to call a quarter pounder with cheese, because they want to be cool. They want to abbreviate it. I think it's the stupidest thing ever. They have an ad out and it says it's QPC, and they're like reminding you not to say the W because you don't have time to say the W or the words quarter pounder with cheese. You want to pay $10 for your QPC? And you get to feel good about it when you're now making $15 an hour or $20 an hour and half of your hourly wage still has to go to buy a cheeseburger? Right now, look at TikTok. People all over the place saying they cannot afford this economy. They don't even understand how anybody can afford this economy. That's Kamala Harris's economy. This is what they wanted. They want you to struggle so that you have to lean on government for the solutions to your problems that they created. I mean, in that sense, it seems like a good business model for them if we're not smart enough to choose a different path. YouTube live chat poll for today. Will you be okay if your presidential candidate loses? Yes or no? I would love to see some comments on this as well as we come in, because people are going to definitely perceive this in different ways. Larry says, no, I fear for my kids' future living under a communist rule. Well, that's broad. And I think something a lot of people relate to. Paula says, yes, because I don't trust in man. God alone has all of this under control. It's a good foundation, Paula. Let's take a quick break. Let's talk about J.D. Vance and how weird he isn't when we come back. Don't go away. You can't fight the
temptation. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Of course, I want to debate Tim Walz. I think it's important, and I think that it goes to a very fundamental difference between the Trump-Vance ticket and our opposition. We believe in talking to the media. We believe in answering questions. We believe in debating. I think it's really important. I mean, look, I'm asking the American people to make me their vice president. It's really important to stand before the American people to make that case, and I'm going to keep on doing it in whatever forum I get the opportunity.
J.D. Vance decided to go and show up on basically all the left-leaning networks and do the Sunday shows yesterday, which I think is fantastic. And it's more J.D. Vance has really come into his own in what I think that the Trump campaign thought that he would lend to this ticket. He's doing that right now. And we watched J.D. Vance go through some really harsh attacks full of made up accusations towards J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is a very popular pop culture person, considering the fact his book is a bestseller. He had a very successful movie made out of his book. He's a senator, so obviously he's been elected out of his state in what was a pretty close election. People liked J.D. Vance. And then, of course, he becomes attached to Donald Trump and people start to question him because he gets the full assault from the folks on the left who just hate everything about Donald Trump, which I still don't really understand. It's like they're unwilling to pay attention to him. Here's another policy, economic policy from J.D. Vance on CBS.
Well, it's called the child tax credit, and we should expand the child tax credit. If you think about what the child tax credit
does. So you and the Biden administration agree on the child care tax credit?
Well, we think it should be bigger. I think President Trump and I believe in an expanded child tax credit, but we also importantly want to actually get this thing done. Mm-hmm. The child tax credit has languished thanks to the Biden administration because Harris has failed to show fundamental leadership. Chuck Schumer's been unable to get it through the United States Senate, and we want to have a more pro-family policy.
There was just a vote on this, you know that.
Well, you weren't there.
But Margaret, it was a messaging bill, I'll give you that.
It was a show vote.
I'm with you on that.
And if I had been there, it would have failed.
So tell me specifically what you want to do to expand the child care tax credit, because it's like $2,000 per kid right now.
Well, I think one of the things you can do is make it bigger per child. I think we'd love to see it at a higher dollar value. And again, President Trump and I have proposed that. I mean, look, I'd love to see a child tax credit that's $5,000 per child, but you, of course, have to work with Congress to see how possible and viable that is. We've also proposed legislation, Margaret, to end this practice of parents getting these surprise medical bills where they go to the hospital, they have a baby, they chose an out-of-network provider, and they come home with unexpected bills. I've actually sponsored legislation to end that practice. So we have a whole host of pro-family policies that are out there. And again, on the Harris administration, I got to push back against something a little bit, Margaret, because when these comments where I said parents should pay lower taxes via the child tax credit came out, the Harris administration immediately jumped and said, we disagree with this. The Harris campaign said, we disagree with this. So did they want the elimination of the child tax credit, or were they just being careless in responding to remarks that I made 3 years ago? I don't know. Mm-hmm. They should clarify it, maybe in an interview with you. But of course, Kamala Harris refuses to do interviews with anybody.
So that's the key here, is that you've got questions going back and forth with CBS's Margaret Brennan there about policy. What is the Trump Vance ticket think about the child tax care credit? You know now that J.D. Vance and Trump alike think that the child tax credit should continue and be expanded. And he said $5,000 per child. He even went on to say that he doesn't think it should be barred by economic or by income. That if you have a child, that you should be incentivized to have children. And I think he's spot on with this. Why? Because our population is in decline. Women are not having babies as young. Couples and families are not getting married until later. So when they do decide to have children in their 30s, maybe they're having one or two instead of three or four, or what, you know, I don't know how many kids is the average per family right now. But we are not replacing our population. That is a problem for a vibrant country. I heard a clip from Canada and some things that were going on in Canada right now. And it was between a reporter and a person who was there who was talking about Islam and talking about how in Canada, Sharia law will eventually be the rule of the land in Canada because they are reproducing at a rate that Canadians aren't. This is something across the world that you have to look at successful countries economically, culturally, and you have to understand at a bare minimum, you have to be creating new generations of Americans or wherever you are. And we're not doing that right now. When you hear about the child tax credit, I think it's always important to remember that there are families who are, and I have four kids. I say this in full disclosure, but when people talk about kids, families with kids getting more money back, you are supporting more people in your family. And it is, if it's a tax credit, it's coming off of the tax bill that I owe. So it's me keeping more of my money to support my family. I think that's an interesting policy. It's worthy of debate. It's worthy of the back and forth, the challenges that would come from the media, that would come from your opponent who's on the other side of the aisle that could advocate for a different policy. Why? Because when you hear that back and forth, you are then, as the voter and the taxpayer, in a position to make a decision based on what reflects your values and your perspectives the most. J.D. Vance was on with Dana Bash as well. And it's really, you know, I want to see these people, these same people sit down with Walls specifically. I just want to see how they treat him. Are they helping the Democrat side of the aisle along, answering the questions and throwing out criticisms of the opponent while the person, the interviewee, is sitting there answering these questions? Or are they going to challenge and push back on Walls and eventually, I assume, Harris, when they sit there and they say things that are patently false? When you think about the media and the way that they have pounced on J.D. Vance for his childless cat lady comment, which is something he said years ago, and my understanding is, I think he said that before he was even a Senate candidate. Like, this is just something he said when he was a civilian, just like you. And he made this comment, and he has been pushed dramatically to clarify it, to double down on it, to comment on it. This is something he said a long time ago, and the left wants to tie the rope on that. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris is the vice president of the United States. She is in a position of great power and authority right now to make a difference in your life because she represents you in Washington, D.C., and they won't ask her a darn question challenging her on how she's a prosecutor, tough on crime. I was the attorney general. I prosecuted drug trafficking and human trafficking, and I won. She goes on and on and on about this, and it's like, but your policies are bringing people here. Who's asking her that question? Nobody, because she's not coming to the microphone and the camera to sit down and be asked that question. And if the roles were reversed, you know full well that they would be trashing the inconsistency and the hypocrisy of Donald Trump if he were to be in a position of authority right now, if this were 2020, and Donald Trump was like, I'm going to fix this and I'm going to fix that. And it was a current issue. You think that they would just sit by and not let him answer questions about that? It's absurd. The absurdity is what gets under your skin. The hypocrisy is what boils your blood. And I'm telling you right now, it's by design because they're trying to get under Trump's skin. They're trying to boil Trump's blood. They're trying to get him to go do what they've been telling Americans he does every time he's confronted with a problem. Donald Trump is actually a problem solver. Donald Trump is actually a fixer, not like the Cohen kind of fixer. He's like a real fixer. He identifies problems and he finds solutions for them. He brings people in to help make that solution a reality. And if people don't like it, he doesn't care. He sees problems, he identifies solutions, he goes after it. Kamala Harris, she's hiding. And it's intentional. And the media is in on it. The system is designed to make you feel crazy. The system is designed to make you feel like the hypocrisy is all around us. Can't you see this? And then you say to your leftist friends who get the readout every morning of the talking points of the left, the side that is for joy. What the hell is that? You talk to them and you're like, how could you not see this? It's right there in front of your eyes. And they're sitting there telling you that, like The Hill reported, that Mike Walls is bringing kindness back into the conversation. Tim Walls. Why do I keep saying Mike Walls? They gaslight you to make you feel crazy. And then when you snap because you're made to feel crazy, especially if you're Donald Trump, that's how they win. None of the details matter. The end game for them is to make the other side look like they've lost their minds so that people are like, man, I don't want to be associated with that. Who cares about policies? That's why Kamala Harris doesn't have any policies on her website. She has no policies on her website. You can donate in 7 different places, but she has no policies on her website. I guess you could probably see her policies maybe at Trump's website, at least for the campaign. I don't understand it at all. But again, remember, they're trying to make you feel crazy. They're trying to make you feel like you need to pull your hair out so that when somebody talks to you about it, you seem angry. You seem ticked off. That's not attractive. You got to beat them at that game. You got to remember the smile. You got to remember the pause and the breath. And if there are people in your life that you care about, that love you and you love them, then have the conversation and do it calmly. You might win it. You never know. Let's take a quick break. We'll get Ryan Wiggins in studio here when we come back with the Monday Roundup, all the stories that you missed over the weekend and all the things to get caught up on a Monday afternoon. The YouTube poll, come join us there. Will you be okay if your candidate loses? Let's see here. Andy said, no problem here. He doesn't mind. Kurt says he'd be, I'll adjust here, ticked, but okay. One candidate, no matter how high the office, is ever the answer. Where do you fall? Andy Frey YouTube channel, go vote. Leave a comment. Ryan Wiggins when we come back. Yeah, we're
at home. I've seen trouble all my
Wiggins.
Oh! Monday Roundup.
Yeah.
This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Welcome to August 12th, ladies and gentlemen. This is your Monday Roundup. Everything you missed over the weekend. First of all, you know how I always talk about how I love the deep state?
Yeah, you won't shut up about it. It's like your favorite thing.
Well, it's because of things like this.
There's the deep state and oatmeal cream pies.
Yeah, and polling. I just love those three things.
Have you ever polled the deep state about oatmeal cream pies?
No, the deep state's just hard to get a hold of. Every time I call, they're like, let me put you on hold for a minute. And then it's like the DMV. Federal Trade Commission, the Federal Communications Commission, and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau are teaming up for the Time is Money initiative. And I got to tell you, I am a fan of this one. It's one of the only things that I think I could ever said, hey, the agencies are doing something and it's good. It's not just self-serving. They are cracking down on corporate tricks that cause unnecessary aggravation in Americans' lives. So these are going to be steps to reduce excessive...
What about the government tricks that cause unnecessary, whatever you just said?
Oh, those things? They're not worried about those.
Add those.
they're adding more of those. So whatever they take away from the private sector, they're just going to put into the public sector. They are reducing excessive paperwork, shortening wait times, and making it easier to cancel subscriptions and memberships. They say these hassles don't just happen by accident. Companies often deliberately design their business processes to be time-consuming or otherwise burdensome for consumers in order to deter them from getting a rebate or refund or canceling a subscription or membership they no longer want. Fan?
Well, depends on how they're going to do that. What are they going to do?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I mean, it just says this is what we're going to do, how they're going to do it. It doesn't say. They said they're going to target consumer service shortfalls, including cracking down on endless doom loops.
There have already been things implemented, like for the unsubscribe on an email. They have to make the unsubscribe. There has to be an unsubscribe easily accessible in every email you get. And it has to be like a one click. I remember this from when I was doing digital. So it's not new. That this is like him saying, this feels like them saying, we're going to lower the cost of, what is it, insulin or whatever that they dropped, and it's like an extension of a Trump policy.
You know what I hate? Is it sounds like exactly, now that I'm reading it, it sounds like exactly what you were talking about in the first segment, where you're like, we're going to do the work.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? I like it. What are you going to do?
And they're relying on people being like, I'm all for that. And it's been happening for 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, if they are able to find a way to get rid of what they call doom loops, which prevent customers from speaking to a real person when trying to find that way out of a subscription, if they can find a way to actually implement that, I'm a big fan because it does drive me crazy.
I think that I'd have to do the research on it. I'd have to do the work.
Do the work.
But I think that there's already stuff that is implemented in there.
Well, then they need to push harder. And I trust that they're going to do that because I trust all of our agencies. How about this one? Have you ever heard of somebody who is an urban explorer? These are people who...
I think I see them on the streets when I drive into St. Louis.
No. They're not exploring. They're wandering.
They're trying to explore into my car on a regular basis.
Okay. And into random tents. These are people who drive all across the country to try to find interesting abandoned places. And these couple guys,
these YouTubers?
I'm sure they are.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there was no video with this, though. There was just a bunch of pictures. So maybe they're just bloggers. They found a deserted home that from a woman who had hoarded toys after her husband passed away for years. So they went into here and they took a bunch of pictures and they said it's the most scary place they've ever been in. They showed the pictures. It is just rooms full of dolls staring at you the entire time walk through them. So my question for you, specifically Annie, since you have kids, have you ever been freaked out by any of your kids' toys?
No, not really. I police that stuff pretty hard when it comes in. Someone gives you a toy that's awful and it's like, take it to grandma's house. No, I mean, if they get like musical instruments or something particularly noisy, those go in the basement and they play with them in the basement, but not really.
Tell you what, as they've gotten older, we don't have as many of these types of toys, but the ones when they're toddlers that you can press and they make different sounds and little fake pianos and stuff like that. We had a few of those that just in the middle of the night, they would start talking.
The batteries are like wearing off or whatever, and they just start making noise. I think we've had a few of those.
Yeah, those get a little freaky, and we don't have any of those anymore.
The key is to take the batteries out.
Yeah, but then they are useless.
Exactly.
So
you aren't following me. They're not useless.
Now.
You can still press the keys.
Yeah, but after the little 3-year-old is like, oh, I love when I press this key and it makes this ding, and it doesn't do it. Then the toy is actually useless.
I guess it still play it. Probably make the noise themselves.
Speaking of toy news, Polly Pocket. Do you remember that? Were you in the age group that had Polly Pocket?
I did not have one, but my friends did.
So Polly Pocket is apparently they're targeting our age group for this now.
I bet.
You can stay in a life-size Polly Pocket.
This is a lifetime dream of mine.
Airbnb. The thing is, it looks amazing. I mean, it really is.
Would you do this?
I don't know that I would do this. Did I do this? Is that what you're asking?
Would.
No.
I mean, did?
I mean, it's weird. The picture's not going to do it justice, but it's just a life-size Polly Pocket thing in the middle of the woods with nothing around it.
Weird.
And it doesn't close. So it just stays open. So if it starts raining, you are sleeping in the rain. I'm not sure that they thought this through. Because there is no way to get out of the elements. You just stay outside in an open Polly Pocket life-size toy. And there you go. Now you're caught up on everything that happened this weekend.
Man, I don't even know if I need to do the rest of the show.
No, you don't.
Steve Moore, when we come back, we're going to talk about Donald Trump's economic policies and what he suspects the Harris policies will be, because she didn't have them on her website. I guess she's going to save those. It's a surprise tool that'll help you later. We'll be right back.
Yeah, we're at home. I've seen trouble all my
weekends. Oh! Monday Roundup. Yeah! This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Welcome to August 12th, ladies and gentlemen. This is your Monday Roundup. Everything you missed over the weekend. First of all, you know how I always talk about how I love the deep state?
Yeah, you won't shut up about it. It's like your favorite thing.
Well, it's because of things like this.
There's the deep state and oatmeal cream pies.
Yeah, and polling. I just love those three things.
Have you ever polled the deep state about oatmeal cream pies?
No, the deep state's just hard to get a hold of. Every time I call, they're like, let me put you on hold for a minute. And then it's like the DMV. Federal Trade Commission, the Federal Communications Commission, and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau are teaming up for the Time is Money initiative. And I got to tell you, I am a fan of this one. It's one of the only things that I think I could ever said, hey, the agencies are doing something and it's good. It's not just self-serving. They are cracking down on corporate tricks that cause unnecessary aggravation in Americans' lives. So these are going to be steps to reduce excessive...
What about the government tricks that cause unnecessary, whatever you just said?
Oh, those things? They're not worried about those.
Add those.
They're adding more of those. So whatever they take away from the private sector, they're just going to put into the public sector. They are reducing excessive paperwork, shortening wait times, and making it easier to cancel subscriptions and memberships. They say these hassles don't just happen by accident. Companies often deliberately design their business processes to be time-consuming or otherwise burdensome for consumers in order to deter them from getting a rebate or refund or canceling a subscription or membership they no longer want. Fan?
Well, depends on how they're going to do that. What are they going to do?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I mean, it just says this is what we're going to do, how they're going to do it. It doesn't say. They said they're going to target consumer service shortfalls, including cracking down on endless doom loops.
There have already been things implemented, like for the unsubscribe on an email. They have to make the unsubscribe. There has to be an unsubscribe easily accessible in every email you get. And it has to be like a one click. I remember this from when I was doing digital. So it's not new. That this is like him saying, this feels like them saying, we're going to lower the cost of, what is it, insulin or whatever that they dropped, and it's like an extension of a Trump policy.
you know what I hate is it sounds like exactly, now that I'm reading it, it sounds like exactly what you were talking about in the first segment, where you're like, we're going to do the work.
Yeah.
Well, what is it? I like it. What are you going to do?
And they're relying on people being like, I'm all for that. And it's been happening for 6 years.
Yeah. I mean, if they are able to find a way to get rid of what they call doom loops, which prevent customers from speaking to a real person when trying to find that way out of a subscription, if they can find a way to actually implement that, I'm a big fan, because it does drive me crazy.
I think that I'd have to do the research on it. I'd have to do the work.
Do the work.
But I think that there's already stuff that is implemented in there.
Well, then they need to push harder. And I trust that they're going to do that, because I trust all of our agencies. How about this one? Have you ever heard of somebody who is an urban explorer? These are people who...
I think I see them on the streets when I drive into St. Louis.
No. They're not exploring. They're wandering.
They're trying to explore into my car on a regular basis.
Okay. And into random tents. These are people who drive all across the country to try to find interesting abandoned places. And these couple guys,
these YouTubers?
I'm sure they are.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there was no video with this, though. There was just a bunch of pictures. So maybe they're just bloggers. They found a deserted home that from a woman who had hoarded toys after her husband passed away for years. So they went into here and they took a bunch of pictures, and they said it's the most scary place they've ever been in. They showed the pictures. It is just rooms full of dolls staring at you the entire time walk through them. So my question for you, specifically, Annie, since you have kids, have you ever been freaked out by any of your kids' toys?
No, not really. I police that stuff pretty hard when it comes in. Someone gives you a toy that's awful and it's like, take it to grandma's house. No. I mean, if they get like musical instruments or something particularly noisy, those go in the basement and they play with them in the basement, but not really.
Tell you what, we, as they've gotten older, we don't have as many of these types of toys, but the ones when they're toddlers that you can press and they make different sounds and little fake pianos and stuff like that, we had a few of those that just in the middle of the night, they would start talking.
The batteries are like kind of wearing off or whatever, and they just start making noise. I think we've had a few of those.
Yeah, those get a little freaky, and we don't have any of those anymore.
The key is to take the batteries out.
Yeah, but then they're useless.
Exactly.
So
you aren't following me.
They're not useless.
You can still press the keys.
Yeah, but after the little three-year-old is like, oh, I love when I press this key and it makes this ding and it doesn't do it, then the toy is actually useless.
I guess it still play it. Probably make the noise themselves.
Speaking of toy news, Polly Pocket. Do you remember that? Were you in the age group that had Polly Pocket?
I did not have one, but my friends did.
So Polly Pocket is apparently they're targeting our age group for this now.
I bet.
You can stay in a life-size Polly Pocket.
This is a lifetime dream of mine.
Airbnb. The thing is, it looks amazing. I mean, it really is.
Would you do this?
I don't know that I would do this. Did I do this? Is that what you're asking?
Would.
No.
I mean, did?
I mean, it's weird. The picture's not going to do it justice, but it's just a life-size Polly Pocket thing in the middle of the woods with nothing around it.
Weird.
And it doesn't close. So it just stays open. So if it starts raining, you are sleeping in the rain. I'm not sure that they thought this through because there is no way to get out of the elements. You just stay outside in an open Polly Pocket life-size toy. And there you go. Now you're caught up on everything that happened this weekend.
Man, I don't even know if I need to do the rest of the show.
No, you don't.
Steve Moore, when we come back, we're going to talk about Donald Trump's economic policies and what he suspects the Harris policies will be, because she didn't have them on her website. I guess she's going to save those. It's a surprise tool that'll help you later. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.